Welcome to the Needham Fund third quarter call. My name is Cheryl, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Kathleen Mumma. Kathleen, you may begin.
Thank you, Cheryl. Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone for joining our call. We'll review the Needham Fund's third quarter and also our outlook for the remainder of 2017. Before we start, I'll announce our disclosures. The information presented on this call is not intended as personalized investment advice and does not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell a particular security or other investments. Please read the prospectus carefully and consider the investment objectives, risks, and expenses of the funds before you invest. The prospectus contains this and other information about the funds and can be obtained on our website, www.needhamfunds.com. Investment returns and principal value will fluctuate, and when redeemed, shares may be worth more or less than their original cost. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and current performance may be higher or lower than these results. Performance current to most recent month end may be obtained by calling our transfer agent at 800-625-7071. With me today on our call are John Barr and Chris Retzler. John is the manager of Needham Aggressive Growth Fund. Chris is the manager of Needham Small Cap Growth Fund, and they both co-manage the Needham Growth Fund. So it's my pleasure to turn the call over to John Barr.
Our mission at the Needham Funds is to create wealth for long-term investors, and it was a good quarter for equities broadly, and all three Needham funds outperformed. Last quarter, I highlighted the high active share of the funds. Active share is a measure of the difference of the holdings in a portfolio from the holdings in its appropriate passive benchmark. A high active share fund has the chance to outperform an index as long as the stocks are the right stocks. Over the last 5 years, the Needham funds had approximately 50% of net assets in their top 10 holdings, which makes for high active share. Many of our top 10 holdings outperformed in the quarter. The quarter had top performance from some of our semiconductor capital equipment investments, and I'll highlight Entegris, MKS Instruments, Nova Measuring, and Form Factor were all contributors. The debate in semiconductor circles revolves around cyclical versus secular growth. Many believe that the semiconductor stocks are poised to suffer in unison due to an overbuild in capacity. But NAND memory requires technology and capacity as it is replacing disk drives in storage systems. In the future, should even 1% of the automobile industry move to autonomous vehicles, the semiconductor industry will need significant new capacity. At its investor meeting in September, Applied Materials highlighted their view that the semiconductor industry will see steady growth. Nonetheless, there will be days or weeks when the top is in argument will rule for these stocks. But I believe in the secular growth thesis, and it certainly helped us this quarter. We're pleased to have available the Needham Fund's institutional share class, which was launched at the beginning of the year. And in a new development during the quarter, we removed the short-term redemption fee from the fund. So refer to the prospectus and sticker for details. Turning to the quarter, July was another positive month for the markets and the fund. The preliminary second quarter GDP came in at 2.6% above the 1.2% from the first quarter. Core Consumer Price Index showed a 1.7% year-over-year increase, which remains below the Fed's 2% target. Both of these indicate a Goldilocks economy, not too hot and not too cold. August saw the markets flatten out. The S&P 500 eked out a small gain, and the Russell 2000 was down. The funds were down and slightly underperformed. And I'll highlight that in August, brought terrorism in Barcelona, the violence in Charlottesville, troubles in the North Korean situation, stalled health care and tax reform policy, and some disappointing earnings. But as horrible as this U.S. social scene is, coupled with the current geopolitical and political challenges, none of this is new. And I'll cite a quote from Benjamin Graham in the mid-1970s. He said, "Common stock purchase will prove satisfactory when made at appropriate price levels. It may be objected that this is far too cursory and superficial a conclusion, that it fails to take into account the new factors and problems that have entered the economic picture in recent years, especially those of inflation, unprecedentedly high interest rates, the energy crisis, the ecology pollution mess, and even the movement toward less consumption and zero growth. While today's issues are different, but at the time, those others seemed insurmountable." I suspect Professor Graham's words on equities will ring true in the future. For September, it was a good month for the funds and the markets. The second quarter GDP estimate was revised higher to 3.1%, which was the strongest growth in over 2 years. And the Federal Reserve left the Fed funds rate unchanged at 1 to 1.25%. We will now discuss the three funds. I will start with the Needham Growth Fund and then the Needham Aggressive Growth Fund. Chris will discuss the Needham Small Cap Growth Fund and closing comments. So the Needham Growth Fund returned 6.84% and the institutional class returned 6.98% in the third quarter, outperforming the S&P 500, which returned 4.48%. For the quarter, form factor was the top contributor and returned 35.9%. Form factor provides wafer probe cards used to test integrated circuits. They reported strong quarter results, including some mobile phone customers pulling in shipments. Revenue from DRAM memory, automotive, and radio frequency customers also grew. FormFactor has strong positions at the leading 10-nanometer semiconductor foundry customers, including Taiwan Semiconductor, which manufactures the processors for Apple phones. KVH Industries was the second leading contributor and returned 25.8%. KVH reported solid second quarter results and showed positive adjusted EBITDA. KVH's new agile communications plan bundles hardware, airtime, entertainment, and operational content, and could account for increasing customer additions in the second half. KVH continued its work on a low-cost fiber optic gyroscope for the autonomous vehicle market, and we believe they could receive about $15 million of tactical navigation orders from international defense customers in the fourth quarter. The company and the funds have been waiting several years for these orders, and I believe their receipt would be positively perceived by the market. In July, Vintage Capital filed a 13G disclosing it had acquired about 9% of KVH's outstanding shares. Vintage has made successful investments as an activist in a number of small defense electronics companies, some of which were acquired. CarMax was the third leading contributor and returned 20.2%. They reported a strong second quarter with comparable store sales increasing 5.3% over last year. CarMax is the nation's leading seller of used cars. With our long-term view, CarMax has opportunity to grow from single-digit national market share. They have barriers to entry from their scale. They know the logistics of moving cars. They know more about what cars are worth than anyone else. Consequently, they can offer a fair price to both the car seller and to the car buyer. The largest detractor was Supermicro Computer, which fell 10.3%. Supermicro reported 37% year-over-year revenue growth in the June quarter after strong first quarter growth. However, gross margins were down due to higher memory component costs. And this was the second quarter in a row of the cost issues. We believe gross margin could rebound in 2018. They also had higher R&D spending, citing new projects for artificial intelligence and autonomous driving. In August, Supermicro announced it could not file its 10-K by the August 29th deadline, as of today, they have yet to file, and they're incurring additional audit and accounting costs. We believe they will be able to get this accomplished. We don't know when. We've owned Supermicro for over 8 years and believe in the company's long-term vision to reach $5 billion of server and network equipment sales, up from the $500 million when we invested. The Needham Growth Fund added to existing positions in PDF Solutions, Supermicro Computer, Nutanix, and Agile Therapeutics on price weakness, sold our position in Cray Computer, and we reduced our position in the long-term holding of Express Scripts. We sold about 40% of our position, and we trimmed about 5% of our positions in Top Holdings, CarMax, Thermo Fisher Scientific, Becton Dickinson on price strength. We also sold about a third of our position in Varian Medical on price strength. The fund had trailing 12-month turnover of just 15% and an active share of 102.73. And I will now turn to the Needham Aggressive Growth Fund. The Needham Aggressive Growth Fund returned 10.78% and the institutional class returned 10.92% in the third quarter, compared to a 5.67% return for the Russell 2000. So it was a great quarter of outperformance. Integris was the top contributor and returned 31.4%, now the largest position in the fund. It has been a long-term compounder for the fund. Integris supplies filters and chemicals used in advanced manufacturing, particularly for semiconductors, and over 80% of their revenue is from consumables. They make filters that are used in these manufacturing processes as well. To put it in perspective, semiconductor manufacturing plants require filters capable of capturing one contaminated drop of water in a day's worth of water flowing over Niagara Falls. That's filtering one part in a quadrillion. That's the type of purity that's required for semiconductor manufacturing at the leading edge. Integris reported strong March and June quarters, and last week they announced for the first time that they will be paying a dividend. KVH was the second leading contributor, and form factor was third. Fourth was MKS Instruments, which returned 40.7%. They provide instruments and subsystems that measure control and power advanced processes, with semiconductor manufacturing being their largest market. MKS is benefiting from the strength of its customers, including Lam Research and Applied Materials, and also from its light and motion segment, which it acquired last year as Newport Communications, a big holding for the fund. The top detractor was Reese Inc., which fell 14.5%. Reese licenses information to real estate investors. Subscription revenue grew just 1% in the second quarter. We continue to believe that Reese will return to faster growth in the second half of 2017 and longer term to double-digit revenue growth. We added to top positions GSE Systems, PDF Solutions, and KVH, and to Aspen Aerogel, Dirt, Environmental, and Clean Harbors on price weaknesses. We exited three companies on M&A, that's Norsat, EXA, and ARI Network Services. I'm sorry to see all three go. And we also exited long-term holdings, Bottom Line Technology, Express Scripts, and Financial Engines, and Ladder Capital and Analogic. The fund had an active share of 108.3 versus the Russell 2000 and trailing 12-month turnover of just 18%. And with that, I will turn it over to Chris to discuss the Needham Small Cap Growth Fund and closing commentary.
Thank you, John, and thank you, everyone, for joining us here today. We're very excited about what we saw in the third quarter. Although we saw some bumpiness in August, many of our long-term holdings bounced back in the September month and has continued into October. What this opportunity allowed us to do was deploy a significant amount of our capital and cash basis that we had into some of our high-conviction names. The Needham Small Cap Fund Retail returned 5.9%. The institutional was 6.05, while the Russell 2000 was up 5.67. Year to date, the retail fund is up 13.3, institutional 13.8, and the Russell is up 10.9. So we continue to enjoy some outperformance here, as many of our, again, high conviction names are performing very well. Also, we have returned to a very concentrated portfolio with our top 10 holdings representing 56.4% of the fund. I know about 12 months ago that number was much less, and we are now returned back to a more normal level where we've been in the past. The top four holdings in the fund is Pure Storage, PDF Solutions, Invuity, and Amber Road. Active share was 99.6% versus the Russell 2000, and the fund had a beta of 0.84. In the quarter, the top contributors were Pure Storage, Corium, Invuity, Agile Therapeutics, and FireEye. These are some of still our core holdings, and we're very excited about their future going into the end of the year and 2018. The detractors in the quarter, one of which is held across all of the funds, was Reese, as John noted earlier. Amber Road also detracted, but what we are noticing is that a venture capital group who's been in the name for a significant amount of time has been exiting their position, and that has been weighing on the stock price performance of Amber Road, which we actually see as a great opportunity going forward once that has concluded. NeoPhotonics, an old name that we had been in the past, detracted in the quarter, but here in October has certainly and quickly rebounded and is now a positive contributor to the fund overall. And PDF Solutions, again, a long-term holding across all the funds, where John and I feel is set up very nicely going into 2018 and the end of the year. Although our cash levels were only at 3.9%, which is generally normally a lower number, we didn't add any significant new names to the portfolio, but as I mentioned, we were able to deploy into some of our high conviction investments. We did exit a few small positions, Independence Contract Drilling, Lifeway, and Yumi. Yumi, because of an M&A transaction, and we exited before the closure. But for the most part, there was not that much activity in exiting names this quarter. So overall, as we're here now into October, and everyone's back to work and out of the low-volume summer months, which is always great to get out of for a small-cap manager, the reflation trade and pro-growth themes continue to drive the market higher as confidence and increased economic activity remains. There will be volatility as this process moves through D.C., but we do think that there will be great opportunities in small caps with that volatility. We continue to expect lower regulations, tax reform, and tax repatriation, and we would think that tax repatriation, which is a low-hanging fruit, with bipartisan support, should really benefit many small and mid-cap companies as larger companies look to redeploy that capital and buy growth that they can't develop in their own R&D labs. Market volatility has generally remained low as it's been and has supported valuations in multiples year to date. We certainly are monitoring the central banks here and both globally, but it seems to still remain a very coordinated effort with free capital flowing. The high-yield market is also supportive of small-cap companies. It's an indicator that we monitor quite closely as it's very smart money. So, in conclusion, earnings season has just kicked off. It looks to be positive so far, and we certainly look forward to listening to the calls of our portfolio companies and new opportunities to hear of any new good opportunities to redeploy capital. And with that, I can turn it over for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up your handset first before pressing any numbers. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Standing by for questions. And our first question comes from Peter Perkleos. Please state your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know a little bit more about the thought process that went into exiting ESRX. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Peter. With Express Scripts, it has been a long-term holding of the funds. And as we look at the, and in the past, they added value to the healthcare system by being an innovator with generics and with mail order distribution. More recently, the environment has gotten more complex, and they found themselves in a dispute with one of their largest, with their largest customer, who's just recently announced they were going another direction, which is a detractor. But the new opportunities for Express Scripts come from many of the specialty drugs, which are, have carry very high price tags. And Express Scripts, we just felt that we did not have the visibility on to see where Express Scripts was creating value on the pharmacist, on the drug company side, and on the payer side. And if you read the Anthem, their largest customer, suit, you can see that the business has changed a lot. Now, it is, they're going to generate a lot of cash, and it is valued at a significant discount to the market, but we just felt that the growth was muted as we look forward, and therefore there were better places to deploy capital.
Yeah, I mean, we also resized the position of that holding in the fund, and seeing that it did not fit the high conviction that we once had and the high conviction that we do have in our top 10 holdings, we reduced that and resized it. We will continue to evaluate that position over time. But as John mentioned, certainly the competitive environment has changed. The environment in D.C. has changed, which really kicked off, I would say, last year with Mylan, with the EpiPen, and then the discussion around specialty pharma and how they were all hit quite sizably, more based on headlines. So, you know, we're happy with where we are, but we'll continue to evaluate opportunistically. Earnings this morning came out on it. Stock's trading nicely today. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. And speakers, I do not show any further audio questions.
Okay, well, if anyone has any questions that arise or any comments, please contact me, as John and Chris and I will always make time to speak with you. So thank you very much for your time today, and we look forward to working with you for the rest of the quarter. Have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.